This is the Africa Debrief by Atlas News. Hello and welcome to the Africa Debrief by Atlas News, where we take an in-depth look at the region's top stories and analyze and explain them to you. In a recent development, the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, announced the lifting of sanctions on Niger and the partial lifting of sanctions on Guinea. This decision comes amidst a period of regional instability, marked by military coups and subsequent tensions within the economic bloc. The decision to lift sanctions, primarily motivated by humanitarian reasons, signals a potential shift in ECOWAS's strategy towards the countries under military rule. However, the situation remains nuanced. Following the July 2023 coup in Niger that overthrew President Mohamed Bazoum, ECOWAS imposed significant economic and political sanctions on the country. These included closing borders, imposing a no-fly zone, and freezing financial assets. The sanctions, while intended to pressure the junta towards a return to civilian rule, also had a detrimental impact on Niger's already fragile economy, pushing a larger portion of the population below the poverty line. Guinea, under military rule since 2022, also received some reprieve. The lifting of certain financial and economic sanctions comes after Colonel Mamadi Doumbouya dissolved the military government, potentially paving the way for civilian rule. However, Doumbouya has not yet confirmed a concrete transition plan, leaving the situation uncertain. The lifting of sanctions can be seen as an attempt by ECOWAS to foster dialogue and encourage a return to democratic governance in both countries. It also likely comes in response to the recent withdrawal of Niger, Mali, and Burkina Faso from the economic bloc, raising concerns about regional security and fragmentation. However, challenges remain. ECOWAS continues to call for the release of former President Bazoum in Niger, indicating a stance that may not fully align with the junta. Additionally, the lack of a clear transition plan in Guinea creates uncertainty about the path towards lasting stability. The lifting of sanctions marks a new chapter in the complex relationship between ECOWAS and the countries under military rule. While it signifies a potential shift towards dialogue, challenges and uncertainties remain. The success of this approach will depend on both the commitment of the military juntas to democratic transitions and the ability of ECOWAS to maintain a unified and effective strategy in navigating this complex regional landscape. Next, South African authorities recently apprehended a four-person syndicate, three men and one woman, suspected of supplying explosives for criminal activities in the Free State province. This arrest sheds light on the ongoing struggle against cash in transit, CIT heists, ATM bombings, and illegal mining that plagued the country. The apprehended individuals are expected to face charges under the Explosives Act of 1956, highlighting the seriousness of the alleged offenses. According to National Police spokesperson Brigadier Athlenda Mata, the group is believed to be linked to numerous crimes across several provinces, including the Free State, Eastern Cape, Northwest, and Gauteng. Cash in transit heists, where criminals target armored vehicles transporting money, often involve the use of explosives. These attacks are unfortunately not uncommon in South Africa, and authorities have observed a concerning trend of increasing violence associated with them. Grant Clark, head of the South African Cash in Transit Association, previously stated that these robberies are becoming more violent, with larger groups of perpetrators employing heavy weaponry and displaying a willingness to harm innocent bystanders. This raises significant public safety concerns, as evidenced by recent incidents where bystanders were shot and SAPS engaged in a deadly shootout with a CIT heist group. The recent arrest signifies a positive step towards curbing the illegal explosives trade and disrupting criminal activities like CIT heists. However, it is crucial to acknowledge that this is just one piece of a much larger puzzle. Now, a recent video circulating online has sparked outrage in South Africa, allegedly showing police officers in Lanesia, Johannesburg, accepting bribes from individuals believed to be undocumented immigrants. This incident highlights the ongoing struggle against corruption within the South African Police Service, SAPS. The video, posted by prominent anti-corruption activist Yusuf Abramji, features an unnamed individual claiming to have been arrested and subsequently offered his release for a $465 bribe. While the veracity of the video remains subject to further investigation, it reignites concerns about endemic corruption within the SAPS. Corruption is a deeply concerning issue in South Africa, with reports of bribery, firearms trafficking, and abuse of power plaguing the police force. The country ranks 41st out of 100 on Transparency International's Corruption Perception Index, placing it alongside nations like Kosovo and Burkina Faso. Experts like Wendell Norcia, a law lecturer, highlight the detrimental impact of police corruption, emphasizing its multifaceted nature and its ongoing threat to South Africa's democracy. Numerous recent cases support this claim, including a 2022 national investigation into alleged illicit payments made by police recruits, a February 2023 affidavit exposing severe corruption, including abuse of power and the disappearance of state vehicles, the arrest of Limpopo officers suspected of accepting a bribe to dismiss a case. Addressing the issue, the alleged incident in Lanesia underscores the need for comprehensive solutions to curb police corruption in South Africa. This multifaceted problem requires addressing institutional reform, strengthening internal controls and oversight mechanisms within the SAPS to prevent and identify corrupt practices, accountability, ensuring swift and impartial prosecution of officers involved in corruption, regardless of their rank or connections, improved socioeconomic conditions, addressing the root causes that lead individuals to engage in or facilitate corrupt activities, such as poverty and unemployment. While the recent video serves as a stark reminder of the challenges faced by South Africa, it also signifies the ongoing commitment of individuals like Yusuf Abramji to expose these issues and advocate for change. By fostering public engagement, holding authorities accountable, and implementing effective reforms, South Africa can strive towards a future where its police force upholds the law and serves all citizens with integrity. Next, Exercise Justified Accord 2024, currently underway in Kenya, signifies a significant effort to strengthen regional security cooperation in East Africa. This multinational exercise, led by the U.S. Army Southern European Task Force, Africa, CETAF-AF, brings together over 1,000 personnel from 23 nations. The exercise aims to increase the participating nations' preparedness for various contingencies, including peacekeeping missions, crisis response, and humanitarian assistance operations. As the largest military exercise ever held in East Africa, Justified Accord provides a valuable platform for joint training and experience sharing. By fostering interoperability between participating forces, the exercise facilitates more effective collaboration in addressing shared security threats. This is particularly relevant considering the diverse security challenges faced by the region. The concurrent Women, Peace, and Security panel highlights the crucial role of women in regional security initiatives. This aligns with the growing recognition of the importance of gender inclusion in promoting lasting peace and stability. These exercises involve Somalia's elite Danube unit and various U.S. Army units alongside participants from other nations. This provides opportunities for joint combat training, urban operations training, and collaboration in simulated real-world scenarios. This program, hosted by the Kenyan Defense Forces, offers medical services to local communities, fostering goodwill and cooperation between the military and civilian populations. The U.S. and U.K.'s Security Forces Assistance Brigades are set to share their expertise with a multinational team, further enhancing operational effectiveness and knowledge exchange. Justified Accord 2024 showcases the collective commitment of participating nations to strengthening regional security capabilities and fostering collaborative approaches to address common challenges. As Justin Blessard, the exercise planner, emphasizes, The exercise represents a shared desire to increase readiness and interoperability in the face of regional security demands. Next, Nigerian authorities recently uncovered a major drug smuggling operation after seizing over 2,000 pounds of illicit substances, weapons, and ammunition at the Tinkin seaport in Lagos. This incident highlights the ongoing fight against drug trafficking in the region and raises concerns about potential vulnerabilities in port security. The National Drug Law Enforcement Agency, NDLEA, apprehended three port workers and confiscated significant quantities of drugs, including 124 pounds of cocaine and 1,752 pounds of cannabis. Following the initial seizure, investigations led to additional raids in several states and the arrest of further individuals suspected of involvement in drug distribution. The discovery of these illicit items raises concerns about vulnerabilities in security protocols at the port. Nigerian authorities are likely to undertake a review and implement stricter measures to prevent similar incidents. The NDLEA is pursuing three individuals believed to be the kingpins behind the operation, who are suspected to be based in South Africa and coordinating smuggling activities through the Durban port. The NDLEA's collaboration with other agencies and its continued investigation demonstrate a commitment to dismantling drug trafficking networks and ensuring the security of Nigerian borders. This case underscores the multifaceted nature of the drug trade, involving international criminal networks, potential vulnerabilities in port security, and the ongoing efforts of law enforcement agencies to combat it. While the arrests and seizures represent a significant step towards disrupting this particular operation, it also highlights the need for continued vigilance and international cooperation to address the broader issue of drug trafficking. Now we'll delve into the recent news of Russia donating 25,000 tons of wheat to Zimbabwe. While this may seem like a straightforward humanitarian gesture, the situation is more complex and holds broader geopolitical implications. Firstly, let's understand the context. Zimbabwe, along with several other African nations, has been grappling with food insecurity due to droughts caused by El Niño. This has led to critical food shortages, prompting assistance from organizations like the World Food Program. In this context, Russia's wheat donation arrives as a potential solution, aiming to alleviate food insecurity in Zimbabwe. However, it's crucial to recognize the timing and political landscape surrounding this donation. It comes after Russia's withdrawal from the Black Sea grain deal, which allowed Ukraine to export vital grain shipments despite the ongoing war. This withdrawal has raised concerns as Ukraine was exporting significantly more grain, 33 million tons, compared to Russia's promised donations, 200,000 tons to multiple countries. Furthermore, the donation isn't isolated. Russia has promised similar wheat shipments to other African nations considered Russia-friendly regimes. This pattern suggests a broader strategy of using humanitarian aid to expand its influence in Africa. This strategy goes beyond just wheat donations, as Russia is also reported to have a shadow presence in some African countries through the Wagner Group, a Russian paramilitary organization. Experts believe that the Wagner Group offers security services to African governments in exchange for access to resources like gold and mining concessions. This allows Russia to potentially circumvent Western sanctions imposed due to the war in Ukraine. Therefore, while the wheat donation itself might provide some relief to food-insecure Zimbabwe, it's crucial to understand this act within the larger geopolitical context. This includes Russia's potential motivations for expanding its influence in Africa, its withdrawal from the Black Sea grain deal, and its reported involvement with the Wagner Group. Next up, Sierra Leone's president, Julius Maada Bio, is scheduled to visit China from February 27th to March 2nd. This visit, prompted by an invitation from Chinese President Xi Jinping, signifies China's growing engagement with the African nation. The agenda includes discussions on strengthening bilateral relations and participation in an investment roundtable. While details are limited, Meetings with other prominent Chinese figures like Premier Li Qiang and legislator Zhao Leiji are also on the schedule. This visit underscores China's strategic intent to cultivate closer ties with Sierra Leone. This month, China delivered 10 diesel locomotives for a new railway project in Sierra Leone, highlighting its commitment to infrastructure development within the country. It's important to note that Sierra Leone joined China's Belt and Road Initiative, BRI, in 2018. The BRI, a global infrastructure development initiative, has been viewed by some analysts as a tool for China to expand its influence. Since joining, China has made significant investments in Sierra Leone's military and health sectors. China has provided military support to Sierra Leone through various means. This includes supplying military hardware in 2011 and 2022, and reaching agreements on military support in 2019. These actions, while framed as enhancing disaster mitigation and responsibilities, have raised questions about China's growing military footprint in the region. China's engagement extends beyond the military sphere. It has also partnered with Sierra Leone in healthcare, collaborating on a long-term project to combat Ebola and providing resources during the COVID-19 pandemic. Analysts believe China's deep involvement in Sierra Leone is likely motivated by the country's rich deposits of untapped resources. China's vast market presents a potential outlet for these resources, offering significant economic benefits for both nations. The bonded lease arrangement for the locomotives further suggests a potential patron-client dynamic between China and Sierra Leone. In this dynamic, the stronger nation, patron, offers economic or political support to the weaker nation, client, in exchange for benefits like access to resources or strategic influence. While the full implications of President Bio's visit remain to be seen, it undoubtedly reflects China's growing economic and strategic interests in Africa. It's crucial to monitor these developments and consider the potential benefits and drawbacks for both sides involved. Next, Senegal's upcoming presidential elections are shrouded in uncertainty, with several key questions remaining unanswered. While President Macky Sall has promised to hold the elections before the rainy season, around June, specifics like the exact date and the eligibility of certain candidates are still up in the air. The initial election date of February 25th was postponed, sparking criticism from opposition leaders. The government cited the need to ensure the independence of judges and potentially include previously disqualified candidates. However, the postponement process, including the removal of opposition members from parliament, raised concerns about transparency and fairness. The Constitutional Court later deemed the delay unconstitutional, ordering the elections to be held as soon as possible. President Sall has acknowledged this ruling but hasn't provided a concrete timeline. His term ends on April 2nd, and he has agreed to step down then. A major point of contention is the list of eligible candidates. Two prominent opposition figures, Ousmane Sonko and Karim Wade, were initially disqualified due to a defamation conviction and dual citizenship, respectively. Sonko named a successor who remains detained, adding another layer of complexity. The government hasn't clarified whether they'll use the same list or create a new one. This lack of clarity fuels suspicion among opposition groups who accuse the ruling party of attempting to manipulate the process. The unresolved issues raise concerns about the fairness and inclusivity of the upcoming elections. Here are some key questions that remain unanswered. Will the disputed candidates be included in the final list? When will the elections actually be held? Will detained candidates like Sonko's successor be released to ensure fair campaigning? The answers to these questions will significantly impact the legitimacy and stability of the electoral process. Additionally, the international community is closely monitoring the situation, with potential consequences for Senegal's international standing if the elections are perceived as unfair. Now, the recent release of three Italian Jehovah's Witnesses, held captive by the Jenim militant group in Mali for nearly a year, offers a glimpse into the complex security situation in the region. While their ordeal has thankfully ended, the broader context of the kidnapping and its resolution requires further investigation. In May 2022, Rocco Langone, Maria Donata Caivano, and their son Giovanni were abducted from their home in Kutiala, Mali. They were reportedly part of a well-established Jehovah's Witness community in the region. The circumstances surrounding the kidnapping remain unclear. The Italian government has attributed the hostages' release to the intense work of its intelligence agency and collaboration with the foreign ministry and local authorities. However, the specific details remain undisclosed. This lack of transparency raises questions about potential negotiations or concessions made to secure their release. The Sahel region, encompassing Central and West Africa, has been severely impacted by terrorism in recent years. Jenim, the group responsible for this kidnapping, is an Al-Qaeda affiliate contributing significantly to the region's instability. They are one of several jihadist groups operating in the area, leading to a surge in violence and insecurity. While the Langone family's safe return is positive news, several questions remain unanswered. What were the specific conditions or concessions made for their release? What is the current condition and fate of the remaining kidnapped Togolese national? How can regional and international actors collaborate more effectively to address the root causes of terrorism and ensure the safety of civilians in the Sahel? Addressing these questions and fostering transparency around such events are crucial for understanding the complexities of the situation and developing effective strategies to combat terrorism and promote peace in the region. Next up, a 67-year-old Australian tourist has been missing for 9 days near Victoria Falls National Park in Zimbabwe, raising concerns about his whereabouts. The man, whose identity has not been publicly released, was staying at a hotel near the park when he informed the staff of his intention to visit on February 17th. However, despite extensive search efforts involving authorities, drones, and trained trackers, he has not been found. Adding to the mystery, security camera footage from the park entrance doesn't show the man entering the premises. This suggests he might not have entered the park as initially thought. Authorities are now exploring other possibilities and leads. While nearly 70% of missing person cases in Zimbabwe during the first half of 2022 were resolved, the circumstances surrounding this case raise concerns. Kidnappings and disappearances, though not commonplace, do occur in the country. The search for the missing tourist continues. Authorities are urging anyone with information to come forward to assist in the investigation. This incident emphasizes the importance of exercising caution and following safety protocols when traveling, especially in unfamiliar areas. Next, we delve into the concerning situation in Luka District, eastern Uganda, where children have been found carrying machetes to school. This seemingly bizarre occurrence stems from a complex interplay of poverty, changing agricultural practices, and the lure of quick income. Our journey begins with the discovery by the district's education officer, Francis Kamyuka, of numerous machetes hidden in students' bags during a routine school inspection. This revelation sent shockwaves through the community, raising concerns about the safety of children and highlighting the underlying issues driving this practice. Teachers in Luka allege that students use the machetes during their lunch break to cut sugarcane, a crop that has come to dominate the district's agricultural landscape. A 2022 report paints a stark picture, revealing that over 60% of Luka's families rely directly or indirectly on sugarcane cultivation for their livelihoods. This shift, however, has come at a cost. Academics point to declining educational performance in the district, with children frequently skipping school to work in sugarcane fields, lured by the prospect of immediate income to support their families. Mr. Kamyuka rightfully emphasizes the dangers of allowing machetes in school environments, citing the potential for accidents and injuries. He highlights the unpredictable nature of children and the risk of bloodshed if proper safety measures are not implemented. However, the issue extends far beyond misplaced machetes. Local residents paint a picture of a community drastically impacted by the transition to sugarcane farming. One resident lamented the loss of diverse crops, replaced by the singular focus on sugarcane due to the arrival of a large processing company. This shift has not only impacted food security, but also limited land availability for other essential crops, further exacerbating the economic vulnerability of the community. Furthermore, the situation is compounded by the recent refusal of sugarcane processing companies to purchase harvests from Luca farmers. This adds another layer of hardship to the already struggling community, pushing them further into poverty and leaving families with few options to secure income. It's crucial to recognize the broader context of this issue. Child labor remains a significant challenge across Uganda, with estimates suggesting over 2 million children engaged in some form of work. In Luka, the situation is particularly dire, with a stark lack of educational attainment. Statistics reveal that a majority of the population has not progressed beyond primary school, highlighting the pre-existing challenges faced by the community. The proposed solution of providing smaller school bags that cannot accommodate machetes appears to be a short-sighted attempt at addressing the symptom rather than the root cause. The machete problem is a direct consequence of the complex interplay of poverty, predatory business practices, and limited educational opportunities. Until these underlying issues are addressed, the children of Luka will likely continue to face this difficult dilemma, caught between the need for education and the pressure to contribute to their family's survival. Now, political turmoil in Chad, accusations, denials, and upcoming elections. The Central African nation of Chad is facing a period of heightened political tension as the transitional government accuses the opposition party, the Socialist Party Without Borders, PSF, of a recent attack on the National State Security Agency headquarters and an attempted assassination of the Supreme Court president. The Chadian government released a statement outlining their perspective on the events. They claim that the PSF's finance secretary was arrested for plotting the assassination of the Supreme Court president. This alleged plot, according to the statement, then escalated into a deliberate attack on the National State Security Agency headquarters by accomplices led by the PSF president, Yaya Dillo. The government claims the attack resulted in several casualties, but assures the public that the situation is under control thanks to the intervention of security forces. Yaya Dillo, the leader of the PSF, vehemently denies any involvement in the events described by the government. He dismisses the accusations as staged and asserts that his party had nothing to do with the attack. He further claims that Chadian military forces have surrounded the PSF headquarters, raising concerns about potential government retaliation. These developments come amidst a highly significant event for Chad: the announcement of presidential elections scheduled for May 2024. These elections mark the culmination of the transitional government established after the death of President Idriss Deby Itno in 2021. The current leader, Mahamat Idriss Deby Itno, son of the late president, seeks to retain power through these elections, which were previously postponed. Yaya Dillo, a vocal critic of the government and Mahamat, is expected to be a strong contender in the upcoming elections. The situation in Chad remains shrouded in uncertainty. The government's accusations against the PSF are severe and raise concerns about potential suppression of opposition voices. Dillo's denials and reports of military surrounding the PSF headquarters further heighten the tension. The upcoming elections serve as a backdrop to this situation, adding another layer of complexity. Continuing, Senegal navigates political turmoil: amnesty law, delayed elections, and dialogue attempts. Senegal's political landscape has been marked by significant tension in recent months. This episode unpacks the key developments surrounding the proposed amnesty law, the delay and potential new date for the presidential election, and ongoing attempts at national dialogue. In an effort to ease tensions, the Senegalese government proposed an amnesty law that has passed through the cabinet but awaits approval from the National Assembly. This law, if passed, could potentially free hundreds of individuals arrested during political protests since 2021, including those detained during demonstrations against the arrest of opposition leader Ousmane Sonko and protests opposing the delayed elections. However, the law faces an uncertain future. Reactions within both the opposition and the ruling party have been mixed, raising doubts about its passage in the National Assembly. Additionally, it remains unclear whether the law would apply to Sonko, though President Sall has expressed openness to his release. The originally planned February 25th presidential election was postponed due to concerns about the independence of judges on the Constitutional Court. This followed the barring of two key opposition candidates, Sonko and Karim Wade, from running in the election. Following legal challenges and a national dialogue effort, the Constitutional Court ruled the delay unconstitutional and ordered the election to be held as soon as possible. The court also mandated President Sall to step down by the original end of his term on April 2nd. In response, President Sall agreed to the court's rulings and pledged to hold the election soon. A national dialogue panel subsequently proposed June 2nd as the new election date, although this hasn't been formally adopted yet. The issue of whether the previously barred candidates, particularly Wade, will be allowed to run in the upcoming election remains a major question mark. The dialogue panel's recommendation to review the decisions blocking their candidacies offers a potential path forward, but the final decision rests with the relevant authorities. Another point of contention is President Sall's potential stay in office. While the dialogue panel recommends he remain until a new president is sworn in, opposition parties are likely to strongly oppose this move if he chooses to do so. The situation in Senegal remains fluid, with the proposed amnesty law, the upcoming election, and the ongoing dialogue process all holding the potential to shape the nation's political future. It's crucial to continue monitoring developments and rely on credible sources for further updates. Finally, tragedy at sea. Migrant shipwreck off the Senegalese coast. A recent tragedy unfolded off the coast of Senegal, claiming the lives of at least 26 individuals. This episode delves into the details of the shipwreck, highlights the challenges of irregular migration, and explores the broader context of this incident. Governor Alioune Badara Sam of Senegal's St. Louis region confirmed the deaths of at least 26 people following a migrant vessel capsizing near the coast. Search and rescue operations have rescued 21 survivors, but the true number of individuals on board remains unknown. Witness estimates range from 200 to 300 passengers, suggesting a significant number of people may still be missing. The vessel reportedly capsized near the St. Louis estuary, where the Senegal River meets the Atlantic Ocean. This area is known for strong currents and muddy waters, posing a significant danger to navigation. President Macky Sall expressed his condolences to the families of the deceased and ordered relevant authorities to deploy resources for search and rescue operations. The ill-fated vessel is reported to have departed Senegal a week prior, aiming to reach Europe. While initially attempting to reach Morocco, the captain reportedly became lost and unable to continue. Consequently, the majority of passengers requested to be returned to Senegal, leading to the fateful return journey. It's crucial to acknowledge that Senegal serves as a frequent launch point for migrants embarking on perilous journeys across the Atlantic Ocean in hopes of reaching Europe, particularly Spain and the Canary Islands. These journeys present significant dangers, with a tragic toll of thousands of lives lost each year. European nations have been exploring various strategies to deter irregular migration, including holding meetings with key African nations, such as Senegal and Tunisia, to address the underlying causes and find collaborative solutions to alleviate this ongoing crisis. This has been the Africa Debrief by Atlas News.